Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take forgotten hits, box office bombs, and forgotten classics and pit them against each other for the right to be on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm Zach.
I think this is the first time in a little while we've had a proper box office battle.
We're taking things serious again.
Except, I don't know if Brandon's fits.
Hey, my movie won some Razzies.
Did it?
It did.
Okay. Well, we are doing the movies of Scatman Crothers. Tonight, I'll be doing Zapped. That's with an exclamation point.
You really have to sell the exclamation point. I appreciate right. That choice already.
And I chose 1980s Stephen King's The Shining.
Yeah, you have to specify because there's a TV movie.
Oh, we know. We forget about the TV movie.
Stephen King does, and it was his preferred one.
We don't talk about later Stephen King.
Fair enough. Am I going first or are you, sir?
You can lead off tonight.
Okay, so my movie is the charming movie about a boy who discovers a serum in his high school that explodes and then, through, I guess, science, causes him to be able to move things with his mind. It's basically Carrie with a horny teenager. So he's able to take girls' tops off. He can move things around. There's one point where he breaks a beaker and he can, like, use a broom and a dustpan to clean it up. You know, stuff like that.
All Fantasia style.
Yeah. Yeah, basically Fantasia style. Also, they didn't lift up each piece of the glass because it was the early 80s, folks. CGI wasn't around. Yet, at least not any kind of CGI you really wanted to see. Like, watch Weird Science for that. So he basically falls in love with the nerdy girl, hits a lot of the beats that you would expect this movie to beat, but man, it was fun. There's a teacher who's having sex with a student. There's a principal who's having sex with a teacher. There's Scott Baio who's having sex with the nerdy girl. There's his friend who's also in Charles in Charge, whose name escapes me
Willie
at the
Ames.
Moment. Willie Ames, yes. Pre-Charles in Charge. They had the cast of Charles in Charge in this movie. Anybody out there remembers Charles in Charge?
He's in charge of our days and our nights.
That's the one. Uh-huh. He has sex with everybody in this movie. It's great. It's a hijinks and, romp that I'll get more into in the argument.
And takes pictures of it just for posterity.
That's right. That's right. He takes pictures, guys, which they let you know at the end of the movie that the girl who took her gear off for that picture, it's not actually her, which is abundantly clear when you watch it because there's like a separation.
Because the body double is black.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just go with that. Why not? All right, Brandon, go ahead.
The Shining takes place in the Overlook Hotel of Colorado. It starts off with Jack Torrance going up for a job interview. There's some beautiful, beautiful scenery that do not take place in Colorado. It's actually taking on the Golden List, going to the Sun Highway in Glacier National Park. So, not quite accurate. And actually, parts of the hotel, I think the maze is actually filmed in Oregon, so there's not quite all together, but putting all together makes a beautiful set. Jack Torrance shows up. He's going in an interview to be the overwinter watchman of the hotel, make sure it stays operational, weather doesn't get a hold of it, and keep the boiler lit. All this stuff just to keep the hotel going for another year. He gets the contract to stay over winter, phones his wife in. She's having a difficulty with their son who has a major episode and has a flash of the hotel doing horrific, horrific things and passes out, wakes up a couple hours later. The doctor has no idea what's wrong with his child, but obviously there's something wrong with the child. So they cut in. Things are going good for about a month. The weather hasn't really hit yet. The hotel's shut down. Things are going okay, and then the weather hits. Something snaps in Jack Torrance, where he's being snowbound in this hotel and really can't stand his wife and kid and has a nightmare. The son sees a figure of an old woman in a bathtub, and supposedly old woman strangles the child. And backstory that the Jack Torrance had dislocated the son's shoulder as a young child, and so Shelley Duvall's the wife, sees him as a over-aggressive person, sees this side of him that he doesn't see himself, but obviously he didn't touch the child, so you're led to believe, because he's in the main lobby, like, having this horrific dream. He's being hurt, and so she doesn't trust him. She turns on him, and that's when all hell breaks loose. He goes into the ballroom, and I'd sell my soul for a drink right now. And lo and behold, the bartender shows up. And he has an awkward conversation. It was kind of a weird conversation he has.
He tells him he can take women's dresses off with his mind.
No.
I got my movies.
Way sexier than that. What happens is way sexier.
You don't want to see Shelley Duvall taking her gear off with the big bug eyes. No, you don't want to see that.
I never said I did.
But there is some nudity in the movie. Good and bad. The first scene you see with the lady in the bathtub, she's all right. And then it cuts to this old, nasty, moldy old woman. And that was not
pretty. She's all right. But then they show Jack Nicholson.
I've never seen a donger with liver spots before.
Wrong Jack Nicholson. You're thinking about Schmidt, Jack Nicholson. Oh.
And
no, he got the marks from Chinatown.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
So Shelley Duvall, she confronts him. They get in a fight. She hits him over the head with a baseball bat, locks him in a freezer. Now Delbert, who was a previous watchman, shows up to the locker or the pantry where he'd been locked in and basically lets him out if he agrees to kill his family. Or correct them, as he says. And this is the one part of the movie that got a little iffy because he's talking to him and decided to bring in an N-word. He refers to Scatman Crothers as the N-word several times. No.
Not cool.
It's a very, very offensive way to look at the world.
That's right. That's why Scatman Crothers would later do more lighthearted fare. Like, zapped!
So he chases after... Scatman Crothers shows up in the hotel for a good 30 seconds before Jack Torrance smashes him in the chest with an axe.
Black guy always dies first, even when there's no black guy in the movie.
In the middle of nowhere,
they just introduce him to kill him. That's the 80s, folks.
And let's see. So she locks herself in a bathroom. He chases in, has a great one-liner. Here's Johnny. They escape. The young son runs into the maze, and she's still locked in the bathroom, and Jack runs into the maze after him. The young son travels over his own footsteps, so he doesn't know where he is in the maze. He escapes the maze, but Jack doesn't, and freezes to death in the hotel. And at the very end scene, you see a picture on the wall that he had been the caretaker the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun.
It really sucks the way that they introduce Scatman Crothers just to immediately murder him in that movie. But in my movie, we find out that not only is he a loving baseball coach who likes to, you know, swig the booze a little bit every now and then, but his wife, totally against him eating salami because it's not healthy. So in one scene, he accidentally inhales a bunch of weed and he sees Albert Einstein and he talks with Albert Einstein and Albert Einstein tells him he needs to relax. And he goes, I take a bike ride when I want to relax. So of course, Scatman Crothers hallucinates because that's what you do on marijuana, guys. We had a different sort of strain in the 80s of marijuana than we do nowadays.
Drugs have changed.
That's right. So they go on a bike ride, and then he suddenly realizes his wife is chasing him in an opera kind of Viking outfit. Like, you know, the one where you'd say, like, the fat lady ain't sung yet. Like, mm-hmm. You know, she's dressed up like that, riding the bike, and she's firing missiles of salami at him.
A salami cannon.
That's right. So, you know, I appreciate the way that they use Scatman Crothers in this movie. They set him up for jokes, and he knocks those jokes out of the park.
In my movie, they set up Scatman Crothers. He does die at the end, but he has some great scenes before that where the young son is contacting him in his cozy little Miami casa where he's got a full bar that's just wonderfully set up. He's got a beautiful bedroom with naked black ladies all over the walls and just living like a pimp down in South Beach. This is where Scatman Crothers really shines.
Hey, Zach, do you like Star Trek?
I do like Star Trek.
Do you like Star Wars?
I do like Star Wars.
Well, guess what? In this movie, Scott Baio levitates.
Oh, man.
A Millennium Falcon crossed with the Starship Enterprise around room, which immediately gets eaten by the dog.
Oh, that's kind of
And then you watch the crew in danger as giant teeth go through the ship. It's wonderful. See, this movie doesn't let reality warp it. There's no psycho people out to kill him. Just a good time had by all with the motherfucking Millennium Falcon and Enterprise.
So what you're saying is reality doesn't warp this movie. This movie warps reality.
That's right.
Now,
no, the other way. The way that doesn't make you go,
They both make me go,
Oh, okay. Well.
Now, what you're forgetting to account for in that word, in how Zapped was warping reality, is the father's... And Zapped is sitting at breakfast, chugging down some prune juice. And he can't just stand the taste of prune juice alone. He has to douse it with some rum.
Fuck yeah, he does.
As warped as that is, he is going to spend the rest of his life on the bathroom having rum shits with prune juice.
That is not true, sir. He spends the rest of his life laying on the couch. The rest of that movie, he's laying on the couch with the newspaper and a prune juice rum drink in his hand. But I don't want to just focus on that spectacular drink because it did capture my imagination. But I love that they had references to The Exorcist. He has a mother who's really crazy, a la Carrie, and suddenly like thinks there's something wrong with her son because she sees him levitating ships around his room.
And oh, so, that's a giveaway that something might be wrong.
Right? So she brings in a priest, which he subdues by having a creepy puppet come and sit and watch them spin its head around a full 360, laugh at them and stuff, and then it just immediately drops as soon as he goes to the dance, but they're afraid to walk forward. Also, when he's at the dance, he has a big carry meltdown at one part, but instead of pig's blood being dropped and people dying from splinters of wood crashing into people, girls' dresses come off. What's not to love, guys?
What's not to love about that? 80s bush is what you not want to love about that. There was a lot of 80s bush.
Fuck yeah, there was. It's like buckwheat right between her legs. It was great.
The old...
It was of a time, guys.
It's true. It was an era.
That time, there wasn't a lot of razors around that worked the way they
metal was scarce because we were rationing for the war.
That's right. We were spending it on Millennium Falcon Enterprise models. But you know what this movie did have? Baseballs that suddenly changed trajectory with an obvious cartoon. I love it, dude. Every single scene where he manipulates a baseball in a baseball game, they clearly take a yellow baseball that's animated and make it zoom off in another direction. It's charming, and that's so bad it's great way. I love this movie.
Basically, when you're watching that, what you're going to see is early John Madden Telestrator. Just watching him, just like he's zapping over to the left, zapping to the right. That is what you're seeing in that movie. Now, what you're seeing in The Shining is true old-fashioned horror, where you see a ballroom full of cobwebs, skeletons just rotting to the core, and the entire metaphor, I haven't touched on this, but the entire movie is a metaphor on winter, how death slowly creeps into our lives each winter. The only way we can get to spring where life is rejuvenated is through the deaths of winter. And this is what Jack Torrance is really coping with through this movie.
Okay, so I want to finish out with a really in-depth review of this movie. And I'm sorry I'm not using my own words, but this just deserves to be heard. This review is called Scott Baio Rules with an exclamation point and exclamation point of Zap. You can find it on the very first rating for IMDb. It was written in July 2003, okay, by B. Wilcox. Okay, it says, Scott Baio Rules and I ain't joshin'. Why Scott Baio gets the proverbial shaft when great actors are discussed is beyond me. Here's a cat who has dated all the hottest tail and was the driving force behind what is arguably the edgiest, most aerobatic teen flick ever in Zapped. Yet he is often mentioned in the same breath with the two-headed Corey monster, Haman Feldman, and his frequent, far less dramatically astute compatriot, Mr. Willie Ames. Such degradation is tantamount to travesty. This movie is cutting comedy triumph. Baio's character makes incisive observations about the empty rhetoric of adolescence and challenges authority not only with his telekinetic powers, but alcohol, tobacco, and sex. And let's examine the telekinesis closer. Is it just another one of those blessing and curse afflictions that finds the right guy or girl? Absolutely not. We're talking about a uniquely Zen ideal, a manifestation of a young man's private internal nirvana in the laboratory of his high school. Beakers move, brooms sweep up debris, roulette wheels spin out of control, dad tosses liquid laxative all over himself uncontrollably. This is a celluloid incarnation of unrivaled genius. Alas, who am I kidding? This movie is stupid bad, and yet I still love it, damn it, so sue me.
There's some bad acting in Zapped, but Shelley Duvall set the bar for bad acting. The Shining actually had the first Razzie Award ever given for worst director for Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. I don't know why this ever happened. You know, there is an award out there, and I don't think it's deserving. I know Zapped, actually, Willie Ames got his award for that.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Because he is just a despicable human being.
Like, he is
the douchey guy. Like, in any other 80s comedy, like, you'd be rooting against him in every way.
That's why Zapped is brilliant, because they took the sweater wearing rich douchebag and made him his best friend. It makes the movie so much more interesting. And by the way, this might have been the first teen comedy in that kind of mold. So it's amazing to me that every other one just reversed it, you know?
Yeah.
Why mess with gold when you already got it? Now, we talked about the Razzies, right? And, you know, good laugh had by all. Obviously, Willie Ames doesn't deserve to win a Razzie Award for this movie. Obviously, Stanley Kubrick for The Shining doesn't deserve to win a Razzie for that. But a very deserving award that Zap did get, Best Fantasy Film at the Saturn Awards.
And it really is a fantasy.
No, it really is, though.
Yeah. Trust me. Yeah. It's a fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fantasy like Lord of the Rings is fantasy, but it's fantasy.
But it's a 12-year-old like, child's fantasy.
It's like Carrie without all the negativity.
And that's everyone's problem with that movie. Man, I would really love Carrie, but it's just such a bummer.
What if Carrie made girls' dresses go up? I'm on board. I think Stephen King needs a little help sometimes.
What if Carrie, like, men's trousers drop? Would you be all bored on that?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, we're just I could see some John Travolta ass.
What if Carrie didn't strip anyone?
Well, she still is naked.
Well, then there would be a really terrible, boring movie.
We all saw Carrie. We know what happens in that movie. There's knives flying everywhere. It's not fun.
Pig's blood.
Yeah, it's not fun, dude. Yeah. But this one, genuinely fun. And Scatman Crothers gets to just sit back and laugh at it all as this horrible Stephen King fantasy gets twisted into something pleasant and fun. And gets drug off by his wife as he's watching all, I guess, underage girls, like, naked everywhere. Scatman Crothers is really into it, is what I'm getting at. And isn't that a better fate for him than to get an axe buried in his chest? I rest my case.
I need a moment to deliberate. I have one final question for each of you, and the question is the same for both. It's just a refresher before I make any decisions I can't take back. Can you remind me who directed your movies?
Stanley Kubrick.
Robert J. Rutherford.
I checked.
What? Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Robert J. Rutherford.
All right, thank you.
It's not about the director in this movie. It's about star performances of boobs.
Okay, I think I've come to the only decision I could come to. Now, I want you both to know that this isn't your fault. There was nothing either of you could have done to change this result. But when I make this decision, This is one where I had to take a step back for a minute and view the bigger picture. And namely, what I mean by that is, if someone were to go back and listen to this, what would it mean for my legacy? What would my decision mean for my legacy?
That you'd have the same legacy as the Academy Awards if you went my way.
And the last thing I want is for someone 5, 10, 20 years down the line to come back and hear this and know that I had the opportunity to put a Stanley Kubrick movie on Mount Valhalla and didn't take it. And so, I mean, on that reasoning alone, The Shining has to win.
I don't think it does.
It does. It does has to win. And you want to know why?
It does have to win.
Because I'm the judge and I'm in charge.
This is a mountain which currently contains, oh, I don't know, pick a bad movie, dude.
And guess what? Me and Stanley are classing up the joint. It's about time. We're starting to gentrify Mount Valhalla.
This is a movie where Red Dawn exists and beat Francis Ford Coppola. How can you even sit here and pretend like Kubrick deserves a place? If anything, you're destroying Kubrick's legacy by letting him win something.
Biggs.
There's a mystique behind Kubrick, which is he always loses.
Yeah, guess what?
You just ruined his mystique. You just destroyed Stanley Kubrick. That's what you want your legacy?
You can fight back as much as you like. I know I made the right decision. And quite frankly, you've only made me believe my decision was correct.
It didn't matter. I already lost.
And again, I mean, isn't it about time that a movie that actually deserved it made it up there? And the one last thing, and you guys have to know this about me at this point, I make my decisions based on whims. Whatever I'm feeling at the moment is what I'm going to go with.
What about Patrick Stewart being so excited describing Zapped? Maybe I should have piped in his audio.
That wouldn't have hurt, I'll tell you that much. But again, remember, there was nothing you guys could have done differently to change this result. There's nothing to be done.
All right, I accept defeat. Actually, it's like not as good of a movie as The Shining. I'll totally cop to that. But you know what? It's pretty great.
It is a great movie to have a beer and watch.
Yeah, me and Brandon sat down and had a beer. And he was like, I can watch a little bit, but then I got to go. And I sucked you in for the whole thing. I also made sure to not get up, grab more beers, anything that would distract from the movie. I did kind of rope you in unfairly.
I don't think I could have taken another beer out of that.
Yeah, they were dark beers.
They were heavy.
Yeah, those Guinness stouts.
And just sit right in the bottom of your tummy like a lead weight. I love it.
All right, so The Shining is really good. It's genuinely creepy. It's a little bit long at parts.
Yeah,
it suffers from what many Kubrick films suffer from, which is just like, it could probably be a little bit shorter, but it's pretty good. I'm going to give that like I'd probably say like a satisfactory plus. Zapped, also going to give it a satisfactory plus. Now, fuck it, dude. I'm giving it an excellent. Here's the thing. I know that The Shining is better. I know this, okay? But you know what doesn't know The Shining is better? My heart. Because Zapped is so much fun. It's so much fun. Look up the YouTube scene. Just put Scatman Crothers Einstein or something like that and watch this insane scene unfold. Like, just for that scene alone, this movie deserves to be up there. Now, you can watch this whole movie, by the way, for free on YouTube. You can watch it for free on YouTube. You can watch it on Netflix, too. Probably the better way to watch it. But you can also watch it for free on YouTube. You can also watch the sequel Zapped again, which I do not recommend. But if you do, there is a good scene where Linda Blair is in it and her dress lifts up and you see her lingerie butt. Ooh. So that's kind of nice too. So it's got a good legacy for its sequel, sort of. It's got Lila Zedo in it too. Like, he's a dean? I don't remember what, something that doesn't make sense, but he is it anyway. Maybe he's a football coach, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to give it an excellent just for my heart. My heart hurts if I give it anything lower than an excellent. I tried to give it a satisfactory. I can't do it. Can't do it.
I will give Zapped a satisfactory. I was pretty skeptical watching this movie, and then I actually had a fairly enjoyable time watching it. So I'll give it a solid satisfactory.
And I will say, for the subject matter, comes off like not as rapey as you might think.
It was a lot less rapey than you would think it would be.
And
although he does basically drug a girl and take naked pictures of her, so it does, there is some rapey in
no,
there.
No, hold on. Who does that?
Willie Ames.
No, he doesn't. He was the one that was drunk. She wasn't drunk at all. She No. He gets in a drinking contest with her boyfriend, and then they go on carnival rides, and then he has his friend, like, make the carnival ride go faster, so his friend puked everywhere. And then she decides, because he was rich, like, I'll just go bang him instead. Like, that was the thing. There was no trickery. There was no Mickey's or anything like that. Like, in fact, he was the drunk one and she wasn't. I'm just saying, there was no borderline rape scene in this movie. A little rapey with the dresses flying off.
Maybe borderline. Borderline.
But there was no, like, rape scene per se, if that makes sense.
That's for the best.
Yeah.
As for The Shining, I give a satisfactory plus. I mean, it, like you had said, there it does kind of go a little long. And I didn't notice it as much, but my oldest daughter, she had a really hard time with the sound in the movie, because there's a lot of really high-pitched squeals and stuff that happen that add a lot of tension to a lot of the scenes. And she had a really hard time with that. But me with my hearing loss, not so bad.
I'm surprised you didn't mention Red Rum at all. Red Rum, Red Rum, Red Rum. That was at least like 30 minutes of dialogue in that movie.
That was good 10, 15.
Thanks, Kubrick. We get it. It's a lot of setup for a mirror. I'm just saying.
Although, it was kind of interesting because we watched this and I didn't want to like leave my kids going to bed with watching this. So we stayed up extra and watched
Zapped?
No, we watched The Three Amigos.
Oh, nice.
Afterwards, which was funny because more people died in the opening scene of Three Amigos than the entire film The Shining.
Oh, dude, El Guapo. He was a cold-blooded killer.
Well, just
he
the
was
black,
infamous, dude.
Just the
That's
black and
more
white,
than famous.
Just the black and white scene where they're like, or the black and white movie they're watching in the little theater or church in Mexico. More people died in that little 5-minute black and white movie than all of The Shining.
So what do you think, Zach?
Zapped gets an incomplete. Shining gets an excellent. Oh, I love The Shining. I love it so much. I love most Kubrick movies in general. I'm a big Kubrick devotee. But man, I fucking love The Shining.
Have you ever watched his very first film?
I've watched it once. It didn't stick.
That was enough.
Yeah. That's why I said almost all. Because I don't feel any need to revisit Eyes Wide Shut either. Like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you Kubrick's flawless.
Maybe scenes, right?
Exactly.
Let me put it this way. We'll put Eyes Wide Shut at certain selected scenes with, like, Zapped. Like, we'll put those together. That's when Kubrick and what's his name can, like, collide.
Rutherford,
yeah. Make it work.
I would encourage people who really love The Shining to go watch Room 237. It's a fantastic documentary.
That's actually what I'm planning on watching this week.
Yeah, it's... I will say the documentary is a little long, and it's...
So it's just like Kubrick.
It's
really
more
great
than that.
And really long.
More than that. It's overstays its welcome by a pretty, and it also gets a little too speculative for my life, and a little bit too much assigning credit that I don't necessarily think should be assigned for my liking. But overall, it's a really, really well made movie that gets into some really interesting stuff.
I've heard that that's kind of the point of the documentary.
It very much is.
They're trying to show like how people overanalyze
it. Yeah, but when you're watching it for as long as it does not play as like it's one of those things that works better in theory than it did in practice.
Fair enough. Would you see Zapped?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it anytime you want. YouTube or Netflix, yeah. Maybe.
That's one that I wouldn't say I'm saving it so much as I'm waiting for the moment, because I didn't watch it in time to lead up to this, that I'm sort of waiting for the moment where I'm just like, you know what I should do today? I should watch Zapped. I'm waiting till it grabs me.
By the way, quick warning, if you are watching it on Netflix, don't get the other Zapped. Get the one with the exclamation point with Scott Baio. The
other one's a Disney Channel original movie starring like a 14-year-old girl named Zendaya or something like that.
I don't think it's nearly the fun.
Well, at the very least, the premises will be wildly different.
You're better off seeing Zapped again than that one.
All right, so fill those seats so we don't have to.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blue birds. That's available. We have a good life. Montauk Disguise. Box Office Battle. Within Men. And shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, John Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow. My whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network. Putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.